All right, I want to talk to you about forgiveness because that's what the drama was all about. During this Bell's Christmas drama that we just viewed, we watched a shepherd boy repeatedly forgive an uncaring, selfish silversmith. The shepherd boy modeled forgiveness. But you know, centuries ago, a character stepped onto the stage of the drama of human history and modeled forgiveness in an even greater way than did the shepherd boy in this drama that we just watched. And his name was Jesus. He modeled forgiveness by forgiving the very people who had inflicted unimaginable pain and suffering on him by demanding that he be condemned to death by crucifixion on a Roman cross. He not only forgave his accusers, but he actually prayed for them to be forgiven by his Father. Luke described the scene in Luke chapter 23. I want to read you some excerpts from that chapter. He wrote, "With loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand and surrendered Jesus to their will. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" And you see, because Jesus modeled forgiveness for us, he expects us to model forgiveness for others. And that's why the apostle wrote this in Colossians 3:13. "Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." You see, forgiveness is difficult, but it becomes easier when we remember that we have been forgiven. How dare we not forgive when we have been forgiven so much? Forgiveness is one of the most misunderstood concepts in Christianity. So during the next few moments, I want to attempt to broaden our understanding of what it means to forgive. But before we do that, let's bow our heads and pray a quick prayer asking God to help us understand forgiveness. Father, it's so important that we forgive. So would you teach us to forgive? Teach us what it really means to forgive and how vitally important that is in each of our lives. Not only to forgive, but to be forgiven. In Jesus' name, and amen. I want to start by telling you that forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a conscious choice that has nothing to do with how we feel. You see, forgiveness happens when we choose to stop expecting the one who hurt us to pay for what he did. It's an intentional choice to cancel the record of the offender. The great apostle defined forgiveness like this when he wrote in Colossians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14 that he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. And so you see, forgiveness is an emotional release, no longer expecting the other person to pay for what they did for us. And then forgiveness is not for the benefit of the person who wronged us. You see, it's for my benefit. If I fail to forgive someone who hurt me, then I will become the prisoner of bitterness. And over the course of time, the offense becomes more and more damaging. And in fact, it becomes more damaging to me than it originally was. Not because of the offense of itself, but because of my refusal to forgive and the bitterness that results. And that's why the author of the book of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 12:15, "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up in you to trouble you." Forgiveness, then, is the act by which we release ourselves from our own prison of bitterness. A wise man once said this, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner was me." You see, that's what forgiveness really does for us. And forgiveness is, it does not require that the wrongdoer apologize or even be remorseful. It doesn't even require that he be aware of the fact that he hurt me. All that is required is that I simply say to myself and really mean it, "I'm going to let go of this. I will not let this incident make me bitter. I will not let it change my life in any way. I will get over it." And what the offender does or does not do should make no difference in whether or not I forgive, in my decision to forgive, because the apostle wrote that in Colossians 3:13. Forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And here's another thought. Forgiveness does not bypass God's perfect justice. A person who steals or murders should face the appropriate penalties under God's law. And you see, forgiveness changes the reason that I desire an offender to be brought to justice. Because I forgive, I won't want the offender to suffer just because he made me suffer. I want him to pay for what he did to me, not just because of what he did to me. After I forgive, this transformation happens when I no longer am concerned about what happened to me, but now I'm concerned about what may happen to the other person. And as a result, I'm able to release him from his obligation to me so that I can desire God's justice for my offender for his benefit and not for my own. Not for my own satisfaction, but for God's glory. Not for my revenge, but for God's purposes. And that's at least part of what Paul was referring to when he wrote this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, I forgive not for the benefit of the person who offended me and not necessarily for my own benefit, but I forgive because that's to the glory of God, because it's what God wants me to do. And it winds up being not only for my good, but for the good of my offender as well. And then here's the conclusion. The conclusion of this sermon is quite simple. The conclusion of the drama is quite simple. Choose to forgive for your own sake. Choose to forgive. And it is a choice, because Paul commanded us to do it. And every time we're commanded to do something, we're confronted with a choice. He wrote, forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It's not optional. If you're going to be healthy physically and spiritually and emotionally, you must choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's also not optional. Jesus said this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So in order to be forgiven, we must forgive. So that's the lesson on forgiveness out of this drama. And I want to do this just now. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to whatever the Lord may have said to you through this drama or through the scriptures that we just read. If you can close your eyes and the face of someone comes across the photo gallery of your mind that has hurt you and harmed you and forgiven you, and when that happens, there's still a feeling of anger and tension and maybe blood pressure rising, heart beginning to palpitate, face beginning to tingle. That's a good indication that you haven't forgiven. And listen, not to forgive that person does not harm them in any way. But it will do great harm to you, because you'll become the prisoner of bitterness, and bitterness will trouble you. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you close your eyes and if you see that face and you know that you haven't forgiven that person for whatever reason, I want to call on you today on the basis of this book to forgive, because God tells us to forgive, and then we can be forgiven.